This is a live look inside Everbank Field. The Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage with Nickelodeon is underway. Welcome in J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. And welcome in on Jaguars.com around the world tonight. A fantastic night for football in Jacksonville. And this is always one of the cornerstones of training camp, John. When you're a week away from the preseason, you're about a week and a half into training camp, and something close to real on the field.
Well, and let's not sell this as something like what's happened in the past, because everything about this feels new right now. Can you feel it? Are you fired up?
I think so.
I mean, and I'm kidding, but you've been here since 2012, JP. I've been here since 2011. The excitement around this team is off the charts compared to anything I've seen before, and with reason. We've been in training camp the last 8-9 days. The talent, all the stuff we wrote about, all the stuff we talked about all offseason, you can see on the practice field the talent, the speed, the potential of this team. The excitement is there for a reason. I think we're going to see some of it here tonight.
This morning on Jaguars.com, you wrote what to watch for tonight, and it started with number 56, the second-year player now. Right. He hasn't played a game in the NFL. Dante Fowler Jr. looks pretty good.
Well, you almost said rookie. It's an easy mistake. He didn't play last year. He really is a rookie, except for this, JV. He doesn't remotely look like a rookie. I've been covering the league a long time, 22 years. Dante Fowler compares to, in 2004, I watched Bob Sanders in Indianapolis. Had never played in the NFL. When he moved around the practice field without any experience, your eyes looked at him and you went, whoa, this guy's different. Different position, but at the defensive end position, the suddenness, all of the things that you want out of that spot, all the things this franchise hasn't had at that spot, he's showing. I've written it many times this week. I don't see any way in the world that he is not a top-level defensive end in his first couple of years in this league. He's special.
The next thing to watch, offensive efficiency. We saw what the offense did last year through the air. Can they balance it out now?
Well, and I don't know if you're going to see it here tonight. This is a controlled scrimmage, and you're not going to get that feel. To me, I've said over and over again, people think I'm crazy, that's the key for this season. I mean, the defense is going to be better. Can the offense be efficient? It was explosive last year. Can it be efficient, and can it do those winning things? We don't know that yet. That, to me, is going to quickly move up as the number one thing to watch early in the season.
And maybe run the ball could help there, too. Speaking of explosion, A-Rob having a fantastic camp. Allen Robinson and his matchups with Prince Amukamara right. have been epic.
Well, it seems weird to say that Allen Robinson might be the most improved player on the team. And that's, you know, I haven't looked down all 53 and compared it, but he's that much better than he looked at the beginning of training camp last season. He's running routes significantly better. If you remember last year, A-Rob was the key to the offense because you could throw the ball up to him and he would use his athleticism to go get the ball. That's a special trait he has. Now he's combining that with the ability to get open on a 7-yard out, on a 12-yard in. Once that's established, the deep ball becomes a much more common thing for him. I think he's on his way to being a top three, top five guy in this league. It may happen this year. He's looking that good.
And finally, last thing to watch tonight, speed, speed, speed. We may not have it in the booth. It's certainly between the white lines tonight.
I'll speak for yourself. But it's just look on defense. Secondary, Jalen Ramsey. Linebacker, Miles Jack, who once he gets this is going to show his speed, meaning he's not there with the defense yet. He's still learning it. Dante Fowler, the defensive end. All three of those guys are significantly faster. They're not faster than Telvin Smith, but all three of those guys are probably in the top four or five fastest defensive players on this team. Each level of the defense, throw in Yannick Ngakoue too, each level of the defense has a guy who can run across field, chase a guy down, make a wow play. I don't want to say it's never been the case here. I've never seen it.
Let's get to some rules for tonight. Not your regular scrimmage. This is more of a practice. They had the warm-up period, which is part of the practice period here, but some rules tonight for this scrimmage. Three NFL officials, two in development. Penalties will be applied tonight. There's a play clock for every play. The game clock is only in the two-minute situation. This is a thud tempo. You can pop them, but you can't take them down, except for goal line. That is live. No cutting ever tonight, and turnovers will end a situation. The only exception there is a fumbled snap. Practice schedule tonight. Most of the time this evening, it's ones versus ones and twos versus twos. Six different scenarios throughout the night. The threes get some work at the end, and we'll have some special teams period in between. It looks like
we should bring thud tempo into our daily lives, JP. I think we would excel there.
We want to go all the way to the ground up
here. I'd like some thud tempo for you.
Thud tempo. Right. And that's the case tonight here for the family night scrimmage. We're moments away from the beginning. We're glad you're with us here on Jaguars.com. The pregame warm-ups are nearly complete. This is always fun. Here we go. We're moments away from just seeing something under the lights for the first time.
Well, and people ask, well, what's different? It's not a scrimmage in the sense that you might have seen in the 70s and 80s when guys are going to the ground and you're running goal line and there's dust flying. You can see some more things, many more game-like situations than you would normally see in a normal practice.
So the first scenario is the first team kickoff against the third team kickoff return. This will be relatively live. You'll see some coverage down the field for the first time. And always interesting to see who is in this scenario in the kickoff return area. Denard Robinson is the first man deep on the third team. This is more for the coverage aspect to begin tonight. You'll see all the specialists. You'll see Myers, who's on now to kick away. Sam Ficken, the backup kicker. And in the punt situations, both punters tonight, Nortman and Quigley. Jason Myers to boot it away, and we're underway. And family night from Everbank Field. Denard Robinson, 2 yards deep, going to bring it out near sideline. Would have been tackled right around the 15-yard line.
And it's interesting. I'm not sure. I think that's what Jason Myers was trying to do there. With the new rule change, with them kicking off from the 35, they're trying to discourage kickoffs in the league, meaning kickoff returns for injury reasons. But there's also a lot of talk that teams are going to try to pooch kick high, make them return, and see if they can't get a better field or a worse field position start for the offense. Gus said this week it's going to be something they bring in. It'll be interesting to see how that rule plays out this season.
This is ones versus ones, a move-the-ball situation, and some notables out on the offensive line tonight. Brandon Linder not playing with a groin injury, so Tyler Shatley gets the reps with the ones there. And then at left tackle, Kelvin Beecham out tonight, so Wells is the quote-unquote starter.
And it's interesting,
little
JP.
Throw to T.J. Yeldon, and he's out of bounds at around the 30-yard line.
Kind of jumped the gun there. The left tackle position is such a spot of intrigue for people. Luke Jokel working with left guard there. To me, that makes sense. Even with Beecham out, you want Jokel to get left guard reps. People are talking, well, does that mean that he's automatically not starting? I don't think so. He knows how to play left tackle. He knows what he's familiar with there. Playing at left guard, he needs as many live reps in case that's where he lines up.
Thomas and Mercedes Lewis are the tight ends. Bortles up under center. Yeldon right behind him in a single back look. Handoff for Yeldon. Cuts back. Dante Fowler Jr. is on him in the backfield.
And you had out there that time both Ramsey and Amukamara. They're out there in that starting situation because Devon House is not out there. Amukamara is one of the big stories of training camp. He is a guy who I think they knew that they liked him coming in. I don't think they knew they were going to like him this much. He's playing exceptionally well, has a knack for the ball. A former first-round pick, you'd expect to be a talented guy. To me, he looks the part of a first-round pick. If he's as good as he looked, all of a sudden they've got three top-quality corners on this team. Again, something they haven't had for a long time.
5-yard penalty against the defense. Back judge Terrence Miles in his ninth season in the NFL is leading things tonight. Play fake. Bortles moving right. Throwing deep. He's got a man downfield. It's incomplete. Coverage there from Dan Scuda on Julius Thomas.
That was a play, JP. I believe they ran that. Something very similar in practice a few days ago. Got a touchdown out of it. The chemistry between those two, meaning Thomas and Bortles, has been, to me, a lot better during camp and during the offseason than it was last year. As to be expected, they worked together for a year. But it's been a big issue because Thomas missed so much time after that injury in preseason. Those two need to be on the same page. I think Thomas will have a better year this year if healthy.
Second down and 5. Handoff. Right side. Ivory's first touch of the game. The free agent addition from the New York Jets. A Pro Bowler a year ago. And he's a couple of yards shy of a first down.
And Ivory's a guy, JP, they knew they liked him as an inside runner, what you just saw. I think what has struck them a little bit, I don't want to say surprised, is how quickly he can get to the edge. I think he's a little better outside and overall runner than they expected that they were getting in him. So maybe changing the dynamic a little bit of how he's going to be used. He's looked very impressive in camp so far.
They'll call it third down and one. Ivory in the backfield. Koyak joins him now from the tight end spot. Play fake. Bortles throws right side, looking for Koyak. Incomplete. And Jonathan Cyprian on his back.
And Sip was right there. It's going to be a penalty there. Sip has played better in training camp with this more defined role that everybody's talking about. Deshaun Gibson comes in. They expect Sip to be able to play more in the box, that kind of safety. So watch him tonight. His strength is going to be run defense. That was decent coverage there, or decent reaction to coverage.
So the ones are done with their move the ball session, a couple of movements of the chain there, and that's about it. So twos versus twos. Chad Henney leading the offense, and our first look tonight at Miles Jack on the defensive side. Yannick Ngakoue is also on the field, and Derek Marks, the second team defense and the second team offense. Handoff. Denard Robinson cuts back, finds a little space. First contact at the 25-yard line.
And Denard has looked good at times in a training camp this year. I think he's fighting for a job this year, JP.
Yeah,
I think the kickoff return situation could come into play for him. He's on the bubble and probably has to perform well during the preseason.
At the end of the day, they could keep probably four running backs, right?
Well, they've kept five in the past, but with everything that they've got to do at tight end, I mean, they need guys at tight end because they play two tight ends so much. I think it's going to be hard for them to keep five running backs this year and keep all the young tight ends that they'd like to keep, but we'll see.
Robinson gets a couple of yards, and then Sample and Tripp both there to bring him down.
Interesting on defense, JP, right now. You're seeing Miles Jack and Odd Ngakoue on the field with the second-team defense. I don't know how long that's going to last in key situations. I think both of those guys are going to have key roles, at minimum, in the nickel pass-rushing, pass-defense situation this year. So you're seeing some guys who are going to be frontline players, as well as Derek Marks.
Henny, some pressure, steps up, finds a man across the 40, across midfield. And that's Tony Washington with a reception.
Yeah, and he's a guy, JP, that if you watch practice, he makes plays, and he's pretty reliable. Again, I don't know with this wide receiver setup, you wonder if there's a place for him on this team as good as they are a wide receiver. But if he's a guy that you bring in later, if he's your sixth guy, he's more reliable than people might think, not having heard of him a great deal.
It's first and 10 at the 48-yard line. Henny works out of the gun. Joe Banyard is the running back. Aurelius Ben in motion, far side. Henny lets it loose near sideline, looking for Washington again, but Aaron Colvin is there in coverage. And speaking of Colvin, the cornerback situation here will be relatively interesting come week 5, the bye week, and then yep. Week 6, when Colvin is back up after his suspension. Something's got to happen there, and maybe a few weeks into the season it might happen naturally. You never know.
It will, and I thought going into the offseason that you would see Colvin come back and automatically be the nickel. The better Amukamara plays, the more you think, okay, maybe they leave Ramsey at that nickel role because Amukamara needs to be on the field. They have a great situation as deep as the cornerback position is this year.
Aurelius Ben popped by Miles Jack at the 45-yard line.
And getting back to the cornerback situation, it's because Aaron's suspended early. And you're not, and that's why Ramsey right now is playing inside and outside. He seems to have the athleticism, the skill, all that stuff to be able to do that. I thought at first it would be a case where once he came back, you put Ramsey in house on the outside and have Aaron in the nickel. Amukamara may make that very difficult to do as well as he's playing.
Third and long. We'll call it third and 8. Henny makes some changes at the line. Looks over the middle, batted at the line and incomplete. And throughout his career, we've heard that a bit from Chad Henne. Battered balls at the line.
There's no doubt. I didn't see who got that. It may have been Tyson, although I'm not sure. Pretty good eye, John. Yes, it was. But, it's been an issue for Chad. Chad, by the way, I get some questions every now and then. Will Chad Henne be the backup on this team? Is there any way Brandon Allen, the young quarterback, the rookie, who has looked very good, by the way, could be the backup? I don't believe so. Chad Henne's the backup quarterback in this team. The team trusts him. He's a great guy in the room with Blake Bortles. It would be very surprising if Chad Henne's not the backup with Brandon Allen. You know, we'll see practice squad, regular roster. I think all three are around.
Punt team situation. First team punt unit. Third team punt return. This is more for the punting side. Fifth gear punter Brad Nortman, brought on in free agency from Carolina. His first look tonight. In place of Brian Anger, who had been here the last 4 years. Nortman gets it away. Nick Marshall lets it bounce at the 30, and it's covered at the 23-yard line.
Yeah, and that's obviously not a look that you're probably going to get if Rashad Green is healthy. Rashad Green is absolutely solidified as the punt returner. Be interesting to see to me how he comes back, Rashad Green, how he fits into that slot position this year.
Register now for the second annual Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge, Saturday, August 13th, under the lights at Everbank Field. Online registration available at firstplacesports.com. That's 1stplacesports.com.
That was a much better punt than I thought, JP, because they're backed up to their own two.
he added 20 yards somehow.
If he can get that during the season, he's in good shape. Now, they set that up, obviously. It's a situational scrimmage.
Jags got their money's worth in free agency. Ones versus ones in a backed-up situation at their own two-yard line. They'll do different scenarios throughout the night. Again, Wells the left tackle, Shatley the center, Jokel left guard, Can Parnell on the right side of the line. Yeldon is the single back. Bortles under center. Looking to throw out of his own end zone. Allen Robinson overthrew him. Mukamura a couple yards behind him.
Boy, and isn't it interesting that just the talent level difference is on display? You look out there right now. Up top, you've got A-Rob being covered by Mukamura. Down below, you have Jalen Ramsey being covered by Allen Hurns. I just mentioned four guys who could start on an awful lot of rosters in the NFL. You just are so taken by this team, how much more frontline talent there is. And in those two matchups, you're seeing it up close.
Defensive line shifts around. Second and 10. Yeldon up the middle. Hit right around the line of scrimmage. First man in looked like Audric.
And Jared Audric, by the way, he was the sacks leader last year, remember, with 5.5. Has looked significantly better during training camp than this time last year. You expect that, being a little more familiar with it. But the people around here think that Jared Audric may not be asked to be the best defensive lineman this year. The way he's playing, if he's your second and third defensive lineman, they have a pretty good defensive line, which they think they do.
Two tight ends off, two wide receivers on. Three wide, one tight end. The shotgun for Bortles, looking to throw. Near sideline, incomplete. Out of the reach of Julius Thomas with Jonathan Cyprian in tow. And that'll do it for the ones versus ones.
And if you notice there, JP, Dante Fowler was right in Bortles' face before he threw. It wasn't a spin move to the outside. It wasn't a speed. It was he set it up by going a little bit outside and then basically just, I don't call it a bull rush, but just used power to get there. What's striking about Fowler is how many different ways he can be effective. He's not limited to just one or two moves. He's a really tough guy to even know what he's doing when he starts. I think offensive tackles, as this guy gets older into his career, we're going to have a real problem knowing what's coming from him.
Same scenario here. Twos versus twos backed up at their own two-yard line. It's first and 10. Chad Henne back at the controls. Kenzie Bernadeau is the center. Veteran in this league. A lot of starts. mostly with Carolina. Hand off to Joe Banyard. Nowhere to go. Jack was around the pile. It was interesting at the beginning of camp, we heard from Paul Posluszny, and there was a question about Miles Jack. And guess what? Paul's no spring chicken anymore. He's still playing at a high level, but it is his 10th year in the league. They just drafted a guy in the second round who they feel is the future linebacker. And Paul's answer was fantastic. He's not going to give up a job as the middle linebacker or starter, but he's got to help Miles Jack at the same time.
Well, he knows what the game is, and he knows where he's at in his career, and he knows how good Miles Jack is.
Handoff. James Sample came up from the safety spot and wrapped him up. That'll be close to a first down, a couple yards shy. It'll be third down. And in fact, they'll give it to him. First down.
And back to the thought about Paz. He's not out of the lineup or even close to being done yet. I anticipate him being the starting middle linebacker throughout the season. And I think he's going to be on the field in all situations a lot more than some people might think. He has come. There's always talk about getting him off the field in passing situations. His awareness, his knowledge of the defense, his level of play so far doesn't merit him taking off the field. I don't think he comes off the field early in the season on third downs.
First and 10 offense. Denard Robinson, left side. And the first man in, Joplo Bartu, who's on the field with the twos now.
But it's also interesting, again, getting back to Posluszny and Jack, because they're a very fascinating storyline. You do see Paz working with Jack during practice. He knows this guy's the heir apparent. And there is the football guy in Paz looks at Miles Jack, and I know he sees the future. I know he sees a guy who can be a Pro Bowl-level, all-pro player in this league. A lot of what he's teaching him will be some of Paz's legacy in this league.
Chad Henney. Screen. Denard Robinson, left side, got a block, got past Ngakoue at the 20. And he's close to a first down. And he does have the first down by a yard.
And, JP, it seems like every time you're standing on the sidelines having a conversation about Denard and I wonder if he's going to be on the team, you look up and he's doing something like this. So the talent level and the explosiveness, I don't think he's ever going to be a premier starting running back in this league. But with the talent that he has, with the ability to make big plays, it's awfully hard to cut a guy like that.
Now some speed in the backfield. Corey Grant is in the game. Henney steps up, rolls to the right, and throws it away. There was a lot of talk, John, about Chad Henney, backup quarterback, when he signed back with the Jags. Hey, what are you doing here, right?
Right.
A lot of fans were like, hey, this guy has not had a lot of success as a starter in the league. What's the deal? But he's very important, certainly for the development of Blake Bortles as a professional in this league. And God forbid something happens to number five. He's a guy who has a lot of experience in this league.
Yeah, he's very important for the development, but he's also very important because he knows the offense. You can put him in, and if the talent around him, if you're playing good defense, he is a guy. What you want out of backup quarterback usually is, if he's playing over a 4 or 5 game stretch, you don't want the backup quarterback to be the reason you go 0-5. And Chad's a guy who, if the team is good enough around him to win, he can get you there, he can function, you can run your offense, he can make the plays. So, you know, I don't know if he's number 33 in the league in terms of ranking quarterbacks, but he's up there with the better backup quarterbacks in the league. If the Jaguars hadn't re-signed him, he would have signed to be a top backup somewhere very quickly and probably with a good team.
Corey Grant had the last carry, second-year running back out of Auburn. He's still in the backfield as Henney looks to throw again. Incomplete. Neil Sterling in and out of his hands, second-year man out of Monmouth, a seventh-round pick a year ago. Gotta reel those in.
If you're going to be on the active roster as a receiving tight end, which is his role, his goal, you have to catch those. I kind of think Sterling probably winds up on the practice squad for a year. He's making that switch from receiver to tight end. If you look at him, he's got everything you want out of a move tight end physically. But reliability, you know, that one play isn't the entire season for him. But those are the kind of plays you've got to make as a move tight end.
Special team situation, first team punt return. So take a good look here at the return unit led by Rashad Green, who a year ago had one return for a touchdown, another close, nearly 17 yards average on his returns in the punt game a year ago.
Well, and if you start looking, JP, at things that this team feels like they're good at, which as you get better as a franchise, and this franchise is improving, you want more and more things that you feel like you're good at and can rely on. Rashad Green very quickly last year showed that he's very good at punt returning, has a knack for it. So all of a sudden, this is another potential strength for this team that's starting to build up more of those.
From the 32-yard line, he would have been down around the 34, couple-yard return. He's on the run anyway. There's the first look under the lights at the Jags punt return unit. Now, a sudden change situation. Ones versus ones again. We'll start at the 40-yard line. The twos will do this same drill, and then a kickoff drill, and then a two-minute halftime portion of tonight's scrimmage.
Yeah, and pretty much it looks like Jokel's pretty much working that that left guard the whole time. That also, remember, JP, may have something to do with going on at with what's going on at center. There's a few fewer options in terms of moving guys around. So this is really probably your first team right now in this scenario.
Play fake. Bortles lets it go down the middle. He's got Allen Robinson in front of Prince Amukamara at the 23-yard line and a first down.
Well, and that's a big-time play, and you've got to think with the offense, they wanted to see it. They've been talking about fast starts, the offense, and so far tonight it hasn't been a fast start. That's the sort of play you need if you're dragging a little bit early offensively. You need that 12, 13-yard pass that you can count on. Allen Robinson's starting to look like a guy where that sort of a play can be more routine than it's been in the first couple of years for him.
Hand off to Brian Walters. Hit by Telvin Smith initially at the 17.
And if you need offense, JP, get the ball in Walters' hand on a run. I mean, that's a little bit of an unusual play, but it's again. Go ahead.
That's the play we would have seen Marquise Lee.
Correct.
In camp.
Correct. And that will be something when Marquise returns, which he will return. That's the sort of thing you will see Marquise doing. Get the ball into that third receiver. I said a lot. I think this is the look you're going to get with Marquise Lee a lot, which is Marquise Lee and Brian Walters' spot on the outside with Allen Hurns on the inside playing the slot.
Walters, top of your screen. Bortles towards the end zone. Julius Thomas! Touchdown!
Yeah, and they set the three wide receivers up top there, JP, and they had Julius Thomas split out wide. An interesting look. And, again, I believe that is going to be a huge part of their base offense, first and second down offense. Julius Thomas on the field with three wide receivers. Once he gets healthy, it'll be Marquise Lee. But an example of the chemistry that Bortles and Thomas have been showing.
We saw it early last camp, and then first preseason game. Thomas, with a thumb injury, missed the first few weeks of the season. And when he got back, it took just a little time to really get in sync. Now the extra point from Jason Myers. Snap and hold are good. And the kick is good.
Good to see him hit that, JP.
It was an issue a year ago.
Not going to lie to you. Yep. Pretty good to see that one go through early.
So. It's something to watch this camp, too. Silent, a little under the radar, possible battle at that spot even. Sam Ficken, First year officially. His last year at Penn State was 14. Well, I don't think he's missed a kick in camp yet.
Yeah, he's looked good enough to make that an issue if there's faltering going on in the preseason. They love Myers' leg strength. They think he gives him a big advantage on kickoffs. He can really – he's got range. He's got a huge leg. But he needs to inspire confidence throughout the preseason.
Now twos versus twos. They'll start at the 40 going in. Chad Henney will try to replicate what the first team unit just did with a touchdown at the end of it. Lawrence and Ben to the far left. A couple of tight ends. Jacobs and Koyak are in the game. Henny looking to throw. Looks left. Nowhere to go. Dumps it down to Koyak, who dropped it. Koyak a year ago on the practice squad all year. Seventh round pick out of Notre Dame. And now officially a first-year player here in 2016.
You know, it's sad, JP. I just tried to find the score. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, no scoring tonight.
Yeah, no score in this one.
In the family night scrimmage. Did you find it? That's the other question.
Well, I would be – it'd be a story if I had.
It'd be a real trouble if you found it. Second down and 10. Denard Robinson eaten up by Michael Bennett. Now, that's an interesting spot to watch, too. The three technique position. Malik Jackson, big contract, $42 million guaranteed. So Derek Marks, can he come back full with the triceps injury a year ago and maybe even the knee a little bit? Michael Bennett, a guy who had limited time a year ago, and then you have a draft pick, Sheldon Day, in that spot too.
Yeah, and I think I think you probably mentioned the wrong order there. Sheldon Day is, there's no depth chart yet, but he's impressing enough to be ahead of Michael Bennett. Sheldon Day is going to play a lot for this team. It could wind up being a factor that pushes Derek Marks out to play the big end a little bit. And that's an interesting dynamic in the sense that they now have three young guys, meaning Ngakoue, Day, and Fowler, who are all going to play huge roles. It's going to create some conflict at the bottom of the roster, who makes this roster or not. Michael Bennett, Tyson Alualu, those guys need to play well to be on this team.
Rashad Lawrence with a fine juggling catch with McCray wrapped all around him on the far sideline. And it's good for a first down. Whistles.
And this is really good for Miles Jack here, JP. I just kind of noticed he's looking over to the sidelines, bringing the defense in. You get a chance to do this in practice. This is really his first chance to sort of be the quarterback of the defense in a little bit more of a live situation. It's hard to overemphasize how much they like him and how much they're sort of waiting right now. They're watching it, and they're waiting for it to sort of come on, for it to get easier, for it to get slower, for him to get faster. There's no question in their mind that'll happen. So far, remember, he was only in three off-season workouts. So he's still in, what, maybe 9 or 10, close to single digits in terms of times he's done this.
That's about right.
Once he gets right, they believe he's going to live up to that top five type pick potential that he has.
First and 10 for the offense. They're at the 34-yard line. Joe Banyard in the backfield. Henny out of the gun, pumps, throws near side. Lawrence, it's knocked away by Nick Marshall, the former Auburn quarterback. Nick Marshall with a fine play.
Yeah, nice play by Nick Marshall, and he's a guy who realistically, as you've gotten better in the secondary, remember, they've added two very, very good cornerbacks. They've also moved Peyton Thompson to free safety. They've added a lot of guys who they're sure about in the secondary. That means less spots for a guy like Nick Marshall, whose talent they love, made some mistakes last year. He's an interesting guy to watch as late in the preseason gets going to see if he's on this roster.
Lawrence wrapped up immediately
by the other Rob, I believe that was. I think that was Jamal Robinson, if I'm not mistaken. But it's hard to tell because they have the jersey so far up. If it was Jamal Robinson, here's a guy who's played very well in camp. I'm not sure that it is.
Third and 11 for the second team offense. And he's going to change a couple of things at the line. Henny over the middle. He's got a man caught at the 17-yard line. And a nice catch by Rashad Green. With some space.
Yeah, and we do know that was Rashad Green. It was not Robinson. He that's the kind of play that you've seen Rashad Greene in practice three or four different times make. It's the kind of play he has to make. He had some catches last year, but a very low yards per catch average. He's a guy who they expect on third downs. I think it's going to be Rashad Greene in the slot, the two Allens on the outside. That's the sort of play Rashad Greene has to make and that they believe he's going to be very good at and eventually approach the level of the two guys on the outside in terms of productivity.
Denny looks left, throws left. Denard Robinson and Ryan Davis would have had him around the lower leg there, but he squirted free for a little extra yardage, and they're going to give him a first down.
As Denard might have broken that one in a game.
It will be first and goal at the four-yard line.
Miles Jack looked a little frustrated there. Probably think he saw something there. He could have been over a little quicker on that play. But, again, that's the learning with the guy. I mean, once he knows what he's seeing, his reaction time and his ability to chase that down is off the charts.
This is a goal line situation, but it is not a goal line scenario whole drive, so this is not live contact. This is still thud for the Jaguars in a sudden change. They started at the 40. They're now at the 4. Sterling in motion, and Henny wants a timeout. Good movement down the field by the twos here.
Well, and the big play on the drive was really the play down the middle to Rashad Greene. Like I said, that's a ball that he really didn't get a whole lot last year. He had a couple touchdowns, touchdown early. He did some good things. But he didn't make a whole lot of those plays down the field, move the sticks, sort of change the momentum type of plays. They believe he can do that. They, you know, he's a guy who doesn't get talked about that much publicly because of the two Allens and because of Marquise Lee. There's a lot of confidence within the organization that Rashad Greene's going to be productive this year.
Remember, he had that thumb injury, missed a lot of time a year ago.
8 games, yes, he did.
And off, little space, finds the pile about the 2-yard line. They'll mark him down at the 1. Peyton Thompson, Alu Alu, both in on the tackle of Joe Banyard. Banyard's been a special teams guy in the league. 4th-year player, has some time with New Orleans and Minnesota, but mostly on special teams.
When you're getting a lot of guys on this roster now, JP, like Banyard, who have been in the league, and they have proven they can play, they contribute on special teams, they can do NFL-type things, and a lot of those type of guys aren't going to make this roster. In years past, you're probably talking about Banyard as the 4th running back. Now, probably not, quite frankly, another indication of where this roster is compared to 3 or 4 years ago.
Banyard to the right, shoulder down, and they'll mark him down at the 1-yard line. Jordan Tripp out of Montana is there to make the contact.
And Jordan Tripp, a lot of people know who follow the team closely. One of those guys who you have to have in the NFL, probably not a starting type player for 16 games, but a guy who's very good on special teams and can play anywhere in the linebacker core. And one of the reasons they didn't go after a linebacker after they drafted Miles Jack to provide, quote-unquote, depth of the position, they like Jordan Tripp that much. They think he's better than most people outside the team realize.
Extra point. They'll try it anyway. Tinker with the snap. Norton with the hold. Myers with the point.
That's 2 for 2.
So one more scenario to go before the 2-minute halftime period. It's kickoff return. Starting unit against the kickoff coverage of the third team. And then this will get you out of here right after halftime, John, so you can write and get ready for the post-game scrum down on the field during the fireworks. Jeff Lagerman will join us.
Yeah, most things I do in life, I can only do about half anyway, JP. So that's about right for me. Half is good. But y'all be going down, you get a chance to hear from Jeff. And I talked to Jeff some of the sidelines during practice. You know, I'll be interested to hear his thoughts on Dante Fowler Jr., having played the position. When you hear guys like Jeff and Tony talk about Dante, they have a high level of expectation for a guy. If they're going to call him good, again, they look at this guy just like everybody else does, and there's just such a wow factor that once we get going, once you start seeing these guys live, I think fans are really going to be excited about what they see from Dante Fowler Jr.
This is a look at the kickoff return unit, and Corey Grant is standing about 5 yards deep in his own end zone. Taillights, they called him in Auburn.
Well, and with reason, his speed is special. And it's sort of starting to feel like that's his job to lose. And with the speed that he brings, you can see why that is.
They told him to take a knee, but Grant said, wait a minute. This is my one chance. He finds a little space, and he'll be pushed out of bounds around the 40-yard line going the other way.
Yeah, that'll be open for some debate when they look at the film. I'm sure the guys covering there will dispute that one.
Well, the idea of a
– but on Jaguars.com, or it's a 55-yard return, JP.
Yeah, kickoff return drill. You think you want to return it.
Well, that's right.
Corey Grant thought right and decided to bring it out. Anyway, this is now, let's see, they're going into some huddles here on the field before we break away for halftime. This is still the ones versus ones. And we'll see exactly what they've moved into. This is an unscripted scenario here on Jaguars.com coverage of the Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage. So Bortles looks to the right side. He's got Julius Thomas just out of the reach of Dan Skuda, out of bounds, 5-yard gain.
It is interesting. They put Chris Smith in there on the outright in place of Dante Fowler Jr., maybe just not wanting to play Dante too much.
Because if you know Dante, and we know right. him a little bit now, he wants to play every single down of this
thing. Correct, sure.
So an unscripted scenario here for the Jags. Bortles pumps right, now throws right. Back shoulder, what a catch by Allen Robinson.
Yeah, again, it shows you what he's been. You know, the thing about A-Rob during camp is every NFL camp, every team's got plays that get made every day. It's gotten to the point where what we just saw is very routine for Allen Robinson. You're seeing it all the time, and you're seeing it from him every day. To me, that shows you, okay, not only can you expect it on the practice field, you can expect it here on September 11th when they play the Packers. He's turning into that reliable player.
Jalen Ramsey would have been flagged for pass interference on that play. Odrick wraps up Ivory in the backfield. That's a loss of about five. The ones versus ones. They started at their own 40 this time.
If you think about the two plays that A-Rob's made, JP, the pass down the middle, the pass right there, that's what we've seen all training camp. When fans say, well, what are you seeing that makes you so excited about A-Rob? It's those two plays routinely that are starting to be things that he just does that you realize that you can count on. That's what you have to have in an NFL offense. What can we count on going into the game on Sunday? What do we know is going to work? Unless the defense takes it away. Well, Allen Robinson on plays like that is getting harder and harder to take away.
Defense got some penetration, so Bortles had to throw it down to the feet of the running back. Telvin Smith letting Bortles know about it. Bortles gave him a little face rub on the way by.
Yeah. Good for him.
Hearns to the far left. Haven't called his name tonight. Robinson top of the screen. Ivory's the back. Bortles looking to throw. Near side, there's Hearns. It's off his hand. Incomplete. Amukamara in coverage.
You're going to have Myers come out and try to win this thing, JP.
This will be a long one. Nortman is lined up about the 45, so you're looking at a 55-yard field goal for Jason Myers, who had a 58-yarder, his longest a year ago with the Jags. From the left hash, Tinker with a step. Norton with the hold. The kick is in the air. It is close. It is off to the right.
It went good. Wide. Long enough, but it was there.
Had the distance. Pushed it to the right. Myers' first miss of the night from 55 yards. So we'll see what the Jaguars have in mind now after an unscripted scenario.
Well, my guess is you'll hear Gus talk afterward. The unscripted scenario, that's part of what he tries to do. You know, sort of throw stuff at guys that they're not expecting and see how they handle it. And I'm sure that was part of his plan for the scrimmage tonight. Let's see how they handle stuff that they weren't necessarily expecting. So sort of a typical move for Gus, I think.
Final thoughts for you here, John, at the official halftime now, two-minute halftime period for the Jaguars here at the Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage. We saw some fine plays by Allen Robinson,
right,
as you said. Julius Thomas caught a touchdown. Some nice plays defensively, too,
right,
with Nick Marshall with a nice deflection. What do you see so far?
Not the greatest night for the offense. I'm sure fans tuning in will say, well, I like the defense, but I didn't like the offense. That's what you're always going to get in this kind of situation because it's the Jaguars are playing against each other. It strikes you that the defense is significantly improved. It also strikes you that the offense still, at some point during the preseason, they need to get some continuity. They need faster starts. That's been a topic. I'm not going to sit here and say that because they didn't score in a controlled scrimmage, they're not going to start fast this year. But I know that'll be a theme going forward. I know that'll be a theme tomorrow off of this. The fact that you saw some chemistry from Julius Thomas is good.
Yeah.
And the fact that you saw Allen Robinson, you can see what they will do this year when they're in trouble, when they've got to have a play made. Allen Robinson is going to be a huge target. As defenses realize that, and as they start game planning him, then all of a sudden you have Hearns, you have Julius Thomas. So they are set up to start being very consistent, very explosive offensively. The other factor you really couldn't see tonight, the running game. It's hard to know until the regular season starts whether they're going to be able to run the ball. So take what you saw here in terms of the offense not scoring with that sort of a grain of salt. It's really hard to really see what the offense is until the lights come on.
And maybe even next week against the New York Jets.
Maybe even second half.
Real opponent.
Or
half.
Jumping the gun a little bit.
I don't know about that. You know, they might turn up the energy a little bit tonight. So, yeah, the New York Jets coming up Thursday night at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. First time out. As per usual, we'll probably see the offense quarter, the starters maybe?
Yeah, probably two series you would think-ish in that area. I don't think they're going to play their starters deep in very many preseason situations. This team needs to stay healthy. And there are continuity things that they want to get going. But this team needs to be healthy going into the opener. I think you may see him scale back a little bit of the reps in preseason for that reason.
Johnny, well done. I hear some whistles behind us. They're about to start the second half, and we'll talk to you after. We'll look forward to your
ride. Joy Logs.
Yeah. Jeff Lagerman jumping in for John Osier here on the Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage here on Jaguars.com. Glad you've joined us. JP Shadrick, that was John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer. And we will be joined by Jaguars analyst Jeff Lagerman, who jumps off the radio broadcast and jumps aboard here with us on
JP.
Jaguars.com. Logs, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
What have you seen so far? What do you like?
Well, I'm first and foremost, let me say this, seeing the stadium improvements and everything else, simply magnificent. Great turnout. I think this is probably the best turnout of any scrimmage that I have ever seen in Jacksonville Jaguars history. And it's been great for the fans to see all of these changes in the stadium. I love the club seats, how they've been redesigned, and also love that it's a little different color. You know, not that I'm a fashion guy, but I like the change of the color, and it makes it look more open and airy, you know, with the great colored seats, you know. This is a great night.
Before we get going here in the second half, U.S. Soccer, World Cup Soccer coming to Everbank Field. Clint Dempsey and the U.S. Men's National Team will host Trinidad and Tobago September 6th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. They'll be in this stadium. So to begin the second half, second team kickoff coverage is what you're truly watching here against the fourth kickoff return unit.
And hey, by the way, airing all this live on Jaguars.com, boy, does it really limit the amount of packages we're seeing.
Ficken with the kick out of the back of the end zone. They'll try to return anyway. Green with a little space. Green with more space. And Green's going to go all the way for what would be a touchdown.
Well, first of all, the ball would not have been returnable. And you never want to see the guy that's wearing the red pullover on his helmet score. okay, because the red pullover means that he is the look team, okay, and then the other guys are the one that are working on kickoff coverage. So you would like to have the guys without the caps stopping Rashad Greene short.
Yes, you would.
But it's still positive in that you're seeing a guy like Rashad Greene, who last year was the best punt returner in the National Football League, show that skill set once again as a returner, not even on punt return, but on kick return. That's a really strong thing to see.
All right, so here we go. Ones versus ones just outside of the red zone at the 24-yard line going in. And, again, the offensive line tonight without a couple of contributors. Brandon Linder with a groin injury is out. Kelvin Beecham held out. He missed the last couple of days of practice with a little soreness in his knee, nothing unexpected. So Wells at left tackle. Shatley is the center, and Bortles is up underneath it. Play fake. Steps up, throws to the right side, in and out of the hands of Allen Hearns. Jalen Ramsey was there in coverage, but that's just a drop.
It's a flat drop, and Allen Hearns not having a great night. He had a hard time breaking away from coverage on Prince of Mukamura in the first half right there. He drops what should have been a catchable ball. And a really nice job there by right tackle Jeremy Parnell of riding Dante Fowler out of the play and allowing Blake Bortles to step up. Fowler with a little bit of pressure there.
There were some notable videos this week from practice of Fowler putting Parnell on the ground in one-on-ones. This, a handoff. Cuts back through the middle. There's a penalty flag.
Yeah, that's a holding call against the offense. You know, taking away the holding call, though, I like the movement that the right side of the line with A.J. Cann and Jeremy Parnell got there to where it allowed the running back, T.J. Yeldon, to not even have to really make a cut until he was down the field. And the hold, again, Dante Fowler showing up because that's who the hold was against. Dante Fowler, right now, is my player of the night.
So far, already.
Absolutely. I mean, what he has been able to show out here tonight with some of the plays he's made against the run, some of the pass rushes, plays like that where you have a holding call, it backs the offense up. He is a guy that's continuing to show what we've been seeing all week long. He is a special player. Now, I want to say this. We haven't seen him play a game yet. So, you know, I don't want to get ahead of the curve here, but from what we've seen in a week, gives you a lot of reason to be excited for him and his ability.
The officiating crew determined there was a hold, but it was also offside. So offsetting penalties, they'll do it again from the 24-yard line. Thomas and Lewis on the left side of the line tight. T.J. Yeldon. And Jonathan Cyprian, the first man to make contact.
And Jonathan Cyprian needs to show everything that he can this year. James Sample has really started to come on the last couple days of training camp. Cyprian, they're saying that he's going to be more comfortable because he's now playing in the box as a strong safety, but that's right in the comfort range also with James Sample. That's going to be a great position battle to watch throughout the preseason.
Of changes. Mercedes Lewis has jogged off to the sideline. Robinson, Hearns, Green out to the left.
And look on the right side. That's a matchup issue right there. Julius Thomas against Jonathan Cyprian. Julius Thomas won that matchup earlier for a touchdown.
Bortles steps up. Throws. He's got Allen Robinson with another catch, this time over Aaron Colvin inside the five.
Right, that's what you'd like to have for your quarterback. He lines up. And when he gets the ball, he says, okay, do I pick Julius Thomas against Jonathan Cyprian? Do I take A-Rob, Allen Robinson, against Aaron Colvin? You know, and both of them could have been wins if he puts it in the right place. And so a nice job executing by Blake Bortles. But either decision he made there would have been the right one.
First and goal at the 2-yard line. Ivory, the hammer in the backfield. Two wides left. Two tight ends on the line right. Back to throw. Looks right. Looks over the middle. Mercedes Lewis has a touchdown.
Nice big target for Blake Bortles. You know, he is in his 11th year, Mercedes Lewis. But, you know, he does not look like it whatsoever. He's one of these guys that's like a wine, that he gets better with age. And, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, Mercedes has had a hard time staying healthy, and it's very apparent that right now he's healthy. He's playing very well. He's blocking better than he has in the last couple of years, and being healthy has a lot to do with that. And he's such a big target. But, you know, we'd just like to see, though, that the consistency of catching for Mercedes, even in his 11th year, would get better for him.
The extra point quickly, the holder thickens. Extra point is good.
By the way, on the touchdown throw there, the guy that was coming, and Blake Bortles would have taken a hit in a real game situation there, although the hit would not have impacted the throw. Dante Fowler had beaten Josh Wells late and was putting on the brakes so he didn't end up hitting his quarterback.
I cannot wait for Thursday night at MetLife Stadium when Dante Fowler is finally turned loose
for the first time
against a real opponent.
Well, against a real opponent and a football team, the New York Jets, that's got some questions at left tackle. DeBrickashaw Ferguson retires. They ended up acquiring Ryan Clady from the Denver Broncos, I believe. You know, and Ryan Clady's coming back from injury. What kind of a player is he going to be? Yep. You know, so it's, trust me, my eyes, you know, during the game is to broadcast the game on radio. But after the game, when you get the iPad or you watch game film, I'm going to be watching number 56 because he is a show in and of himself.
Twos versus twos, tight red zone. They're at the 12-yard line. First down, Henny. Ngakoue in his face. Jacobs, the tight end, unable to reel it in with Sample in coverage.
Another drop by the tight end. And I'm sure Ron Middleton, the tight end's coach, is not very happy right now. Nick Jacobs has a drop. Koyak had a drop. Yep. Neil Sterling has had a drop.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the wide receivers have had a drop. You know, the drop balls have to stop for this offense to gain a level of consistency to improve this year.
Second down and 10. Henny hands it off. Bernard Robinson, not much room to maneuver. Pollard is there to bring him down.
And Denard Robinson is in a battle for a job.
Yeah.
Big battle for a job.
Definitely a bubble year for him. You probably keep four. We were talking to John earlier about this. Probably four running backs you keep it, right?
Well, you would think that it would be four. It could be five. But my thinking is that it's going to be four because you've got some depth at wide receiver that you'd like to keep. And you also have some depth at offensive line that you'd like to keep. And it's going to be a battle. I mean, Yeldon and Ivory are locks, and then once you get past that, the next two spots are going to be up for grabs between Denard Robinson, Corey Grant, and Jonas Gray. Now, the assumed battle for two spots, we're saying that if it's four.
Still very early. They'll move and clear out the backfield. Banyard to the top of the screen. Now Henny looking to throw. Throws left. He's got Koyak inside the 10 down to the 7-yard line. And it's fourth down.
Yeah, not exactly the throw you'd like to make there. You know, if it's third and eight and, you know, the ball's on about the 10, 11-yard line, you'd like to have that third down throw be in the end zone somewhere. You know, but you got to remember something. You know, this is a scrimmage. This is not game conditions. You know, and so the amount of plays that's available to call is somewhat limited because of this Jaguars.com streaming thing here.
Ficken from 25.
I guarantee you the Texans, the Colts, and the Titans are all watching or recording this streaming broadcast. Guarantee
you. So are thousands of others around the
globe. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would be watching or recording their streaming broadcast of a scrimmage as well. The Green Bay Packers are probably watching this and recording it as well.
You know what? They can record the preseason game one next week, if they want.
And I guarantee you they're listening intently to your play-by-play.
and they're going,
wow, that guy's good.
The analyst on this broadcast tonight.
I'd love to be an analyst with you anytime, JP.
So there you have it for the red zone situation. Kickoff return coming up again.
Yeah, and now you get to the red hats drill. You know, which the Red Hats drill special teams because of the mix of the offensive and the defensive players. And so this is for the kick return unit. So the Red Hats are on kickoff coverage. So in this instance, unlike we saw with Rashad Green carrying the ball all the way to the end zone, in this instance you'd like to see that as opposed to the coverage being better because this is a kick return specific drill. And you have Nick Marshall, the – young man from Auburn, former quarterback, now a defensive back and a kick returner back deep.
13 kickoff returns a year ago for Marshall. And he's 3 yards deep. Far sideline across the 10 would have been brought down around the 15-yard line.
Yeah, and not a good job there by Nick Marshall. You've got a lead guy that's going to guide you to the area of the return, and that's the wide receiver Aurelius Ben. And Aurelius Ben is telling Nick Marshall to stay in the end zone. And he defies that directive and returns it out anyway. And if that were live, he would have been tackled at the 10 or inside the 10, and that's not what you want.
Well, you balance that, though, because this is a return drill. You still want to get a rep in of returning, right? No matter how
you need to execute like you would in a game situation. And in a game situation, you have to listen to that guy, because if he's telling you to stay, you're not going to have him as a blocker out front because he's expecting you to stay in.
This is a goal line situation, ones versus ones. And at the last rules before the start of the game tonight, this should be a live situation. So you should see down to the ground. Alualu is the fullback. Ivory is the running back and has the handoff left. Cyprian is there first to bring him down. Scooter alongside.
Well, that's a really good job. A great job by the defensive front. There was absolutely nowhere for Ivory to find a lane to cut up. The only option that he had was to stretch it, and the speed of Scooter and Cyprian stopped him.
Second down. Play fake. Bortles rolling left. Has room to run, and he trots into the corner of the end zone.
Nicely done. The old quarterback keeper. I was kind of hoping that it would be the fake run to where the lead back, which was Tyson Alualu back there, and he fakes a block and it goes into the flat to give the defensive lineman some love in the scrimmage and get him a touchdown.
Well, there are a couple of downs left to go here. Why not? Still the ones. Ivory up the middle. He's shy. He's down to the 1 yard line.
And you got a puller coming from the backside, and that's left guard Luke Jokel is trying to pull around to lead Chris Ivory up into the hole. And there was some power over the center, Tyler Shatley, and locked Tyler Shatley back. And then Luke Jokel trips up over that penetration and can't lead Chris Ivory up into the hole. So a great job by the defense in the middle.
First got to make contact, Miles Jack, who's in a goal line.
Yeah, and the more that training camp progresses and the preseason goes, the more wow factor we'll see out of Miles Jack. Right now, he's still learning a lot of the different things and responsibilities from the linebacking position.
Bortles, end zone, touchdown, Mercedes Lewis.
Nice job by Mercedes. It's just basically he releases off the line of scrimmage and just finds an opening, turns around, and an absolute bullet by Blake Bortles. That's not an easy catch when you're that close to the quarterback and he's putting the pepper on it. Finds a little gap right between Dan Scooter, Miles Jack, and Jonathan Cyprian into that little hole, which for so many years early in Jaguars history, we saw Keenan McCardell excel in those situations.
Now twos versus twos in the goal line situation.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to watching this send Derek Marks. You know, this is where he's got to start to show some things and want to see some power out of send Derek Marks.
Henny hands off to Banyard. And he runs right into the pile and loses some yardage back to the 5 yard line.
But did you see who was the lead tackler there? Jalen Ramsey, the top pick of the Jaguars. And that's what I love about Jalen Ramsey. Big, long cover corner. But unlike Deion Sanders, who's also a Seminole, he is a very willing tackler. Will stick his nose in there and play defense, run defense all day.
Banyard. There's Jordan Tripp with the first contact. Tripped him up.
Jordan Tripp. Tripp with the trip. Now Jordan Tripp is going to be a leader for this football team on special teams. He's going to be a four-core guy. He also has the ability to be the backup long snapper, as we saw earlier in this scrimmage. Although he kind of had a hitch, it would have been a penalty with his snap as a long snapper, but a guy that the Jaguars like because he can play all three linebacking positions.
Seven special teams tackles a year ago that led the Jaguars. Jordan Tripp. Play fake. Henny rolling right. Throws out of the back of the end zone. It was from the one, so they will do a two-point down here.
That was a nice job by the defense. Nick Jacobs, the tight end to the right side, was trying to release. Typically, when you have a play like that, you have a shallow guy and a deep guy when the quarterback rolls out. Nick Jacobs could never get out into the route because the defensive players disrupted him and actually knocked him back behind the line of scrimmage.
So a two-point try to wrap up this goal line session. They'll empty the backfield, four wide receivers and a tight end. Now Denard Robinson back beside Henny and takes the handoff and plunges into the end zone for two.
Well, that's nice there by Denard of just kind of finding just one little opening amongst all those big guys and just kind of squeezing underneath of everything and getting that ball across the goal line. That's a good drill now. I mean, when you go goal line, the only way to truly practice goal line, much like special teams, is by going live. And you don't want to go live on special teams in a scrimmage because the speed of the impact is so much greater. The risk of injury is so much greater. But goal line and short yardage is the perfect situation to go live in a scrimmage situation.
So this is the second punt unit in a very deep punt return group here. Josh Johnson is back with the red hat on. The punter is Ryan Quigley, who spent the last 3 years with the New York Jets. High, wobbly punt, and down at the 25-yard line. Johnson might have been hit right away. Spins off to the right and finds a little room after anyway.
Now, that was a nice punt. That was a very nice punt by Ryan Quigley. High, hanging, turned the ball over. When the returner catches the ball, the coverage is within about 5 yards, and that's about optimal for a punt type of coverage. So it always starts with the punter. Or let me correct that. It starts with the snap.
Uh-huh.
And then it's on the punter to allow the coverage team to be able to have enough time to get down there and close the window, so to speak, on the returner. And that was a good punt.
Jaguars and Buccaneers are holding joint practices Tuesday, August 17th, Wednesday, August 18th on the practice fields adjacent to Everbank Field. Registration info coming soon. Stay tuned to Jaguars.com over the next few days for more information.
Yeah, looking forward to that. You know, Dirk Cutter was here as a coach for a long time. Jameis Winston, Mike Smith, the former Jaguars defensive coordinator, head coach of the Falcons. A lot of the staff in Tampa has coached here in Jacksonville.
Bortles on first down. That's complete. Allen Hurns with a catch. This scenario, 1:09 left in the game, starting from their own 20, one timeout, down by one. So 9 yards on first down, the clock moving. Bortles looks left, throws that way. He has Allen Robinson, pass to Mukamura.
And not a great job there by Mukamura in a two-minute situation. Keep everybody inbounds, make the tackle, force them to use the timeout. He allows Allen Robinson to make the catch and to get out of bounds.
First and 10. Looking left again. Threw behind Robinson. Mukamura was right there. This is just a misfire by Bortles, I believe.
Yeah, and a misread. You know, he throws the back shoulder, whereas Allen Robinson had the step kind of past to Mukamura, so the throw would have been down the field. You know, sometimes quarterback, wide receiver, this is why you work out the kinks in training camp.
So 40 seconds to go. The Jags offense at their own 36-yard line. Second down and 10. Hurns to the top of the screen. And back to throw, Bortles. Pumps has to flush left. Backpedaling towards the sideline. Last moment found Yeldon, but it's incomplete.
And, you know, he should have found Yeldon a little bit sooner. The pocket collapses on him. He tries to buy some time, you know, but in a two-minute situation, you really don't want to extend the play too much. You know, just throw it away.
He lost 8 seconds on that incompletion.
You just lose so much time by trying to extend the play if you're not going to try to throw the ball way down the field.
So 32 seconds to go. Third down and 10 at the 36-yard line. Low snap. Bortles handles it clean. Some pressure up the middle. Finds Yeldon. Dumps it down. Telvin Smith is there to bring him down in bounds.
That would have been it right there. I mean, that would have should be fourth down and two-minute situation. Telvin Smith would have tackled Yeldon in bounds. The clock would have kept running. They would have had to use their timeout offensively, their last remaining timeout, forcing what is now fourth down and 8.
And that is the scenario. So 19 seconds to go. We'll see if they play this fourth down out. I believe they will.
Sure they will. Absolutely. You know, a lot of things can happen with one play. Look at the Heidi game.
That's true. But nobody saw that, though.
No, nobody did see that. That is very true. Now, I will say some really nice push in the pocket there with Odric, Malik Jackson, and Ngakoue, and Dante Fowler, making Blake Bortles very uncomfortable, moving him off the spot. Not getting a sack, but moving him off of the spot on this two-minute drill.
Got Ngakoue and Fowler on the field together. It's fourth down and 8. Telvin Smith got free. Throw over the middle is nearly intercepted.
Whoa. Really nice job. Telvin Smith would have had the sack in the backfield, but obviously he stays away from Blake Bortles. Then the ball is tipped up in the air because Allen Robinson is diving for it with Amukamara on the play. And then Tashawn Gibson almost gets an interception. And I think you're going to see him make that play more times than not in the regular season. He's got excellent ball skills as a free safety.
14 career interceptions, a Pro Bowler in 2014, and a guy who was an undrafted free agent out of Wyoming, worked his way up in Cleveland, kept getting better and better
until he got Mike Pettine as his head coach.
And now they will do a field goal no matter the situation here. Here's Fickett from 53.
Drills it.
Perfect.
I made the comment on our radio broadcast when Jason Myers missed the long one and then his extra point before that barely squeezed in within the upright and in the south end zone. That Jason Myers, he heard a little smattering of boos. I don't know if you heard that on the long field goal that Jason Myers had. That, you know, the fan base probably has a very short amount of patience with Jason Myers with his struggles with PATs. And I made the statement that Jason Myers should not feel very comfortable because Sam Ficken, who they signed as the 90th guy going into training camp, has been very consistent throughout training camp. Very consistent.
I don't know if he's missed a kick in live action.
Well, and he's got a very, very strong leg.
Officially a first-year player out of Penn State. Now it's twos versus twos. Same scenario, 109 to go from their own 20. Chad Henney finds Aurelius Benn on first down. That's a gain of 8. Clock moving, under a minute.
Really has been 220-pound wide receiver, and most of it's from the waist down.
And he looks right. Throws right. Batted in the air, knocked away by Grotz, looking for Walters.
That's a really nice play by Dwayne Grotz, but that's a defensive holding call, and I believe that might have been against DMAC, Demetrius McCray. That's the side of the field that it was thrown on. I'm not positive of that, but it was in his area. Full crew, or not a full crew, but we have a NFL officials here, and I'm sure you and John talked about it.
We had an
NFL officials meeting prior to the scrimmage here, and they were excellent explaining some of the rule changes and also points of emphasis to us for the year.
Terrence Miles leading the way there.
And he did a great job leading the way.
Henny. Corey Grant on the outside across the 40. And they'll blow it dead at the 43, 44, somewhere in there.
Now, Corey Grant's like Forrest Gump. You know, he just wants to run. You know, run, Corey, run.
I mean, Corey did start at Alabama and then transferred to Auburn.
Wow,
so close.
Boy, does he have speed.
Henny, far side, up in the air, and caught, but out of bounds.
Well, that's a heck of a catch, and I want to say this now, heck of a catch, but also excellent coverage there by Nick Marshall.
And Tony Washington, the receiver.
Tony Washington.
Yeah, it looked like he slid that first foot on the line. And
boy, looking at it now, boy, that's
yeah. One.
That's a heck of a job just making the catch and then having some awareness to try to get the feet down, but just wasn't going to be able to do it.
It's third down, and they'll call it 12 with 33 seconds to go. Henny, far side, has a man. It is caught. Walters. Inbounds, clock moving, up to the 45-yard line.
Brian Walters just catches everything. That was on the back shoulder, and he still makes the catch.
And he will clock it with 21 seconds remaining.
Look at this catch, folks. Back shoulder, basically one hand, traps it against the side of his helmet, and pulls it in before Dwayne Grotz can get his hand even involved. That's why Brian Walters is kind of the opposite of a Marquise Lee. You know, Brian Walters, dependable, will make the catch, available for the most part every week, whereas Marquise Lee, you know, can't quite depend on him yet, but he's got a super high level of ability, so you're having some patience. But, you know, Brian Walters, quarterbacks love a guy like Brian Walters.
Walters targeted 42 times a year ago, caught 32 of those. That's incomplete over the middle, looking for Washington. Marshall's there again.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, at one point last year, Brian Walters was one of the top players in the National Football League at catch percentage. You know, so as a quarterback, you know, you want guys that are going to be where they're supposed to be, and then when you throw it to them, they're going to make the catch like they're supposed to do, and Brian Walters is that type.
So third down and 10 officially, 16 seconds to go here. Henny over the middle. Bailey. With the catch, Rasheed Bailey, first-year player out of Delaware Valley. And a timeout called.
A nice throw there by Chad Henney.
3 seconds to go, Jeff.
3 seconds to go. What's the situation again?
They were down one with one timeout. They just
okay,
used the timeout.
Now you're going to send the field goal unit out. Ficken is going to be the kicker. And the holder will be Ryan Quigley. So you have the backup punter, the backup kicker here. And this is a pressure situation. If this were real game conditions, Ficken could make a statement here once again.
From 47 yards away for the win. Ficken's kick is up, has the distance. It's good.
Making a statement for himself. Making a statement for himself. Nice job by there, the second team offense, executing the two-minute drill, marching it down the field with 3 seconds left, sending the field goal unit out there, and which in a real game, that would have been the game winner. And this team has got to be able to do that this year. To stack some wins together. Winning games when it comes down to two-minute drills. More games are determined in two-minute drills than you can imagine.
Because this, the starting Jaguars offense in two-minute situations a year ago was pretty good.
Yeah, they were really good.
They could move the ball.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's where a lot of Blake's touchdowns came. Yeah. It was, you know, that fourth quarter you're behind.
Yeah.
You like to
some
get
of those before halftime, too, now.
Oh, yeah, in two-minute drills.
Yeah. This, a punt return situation. Standing back at his own 32-yard line, Brian Walters. Looks up into the Florida night sky, makes the catch at about the 36-yard line, and no room to run.
Quigley there with the punt, doesn't quite get the ball turned over. And now I believe it's going to be number 3 offense versus number 3 defense. Is that right?
That's correct. Just okay. Move the ball here.
But, you know, they're and I want to make this point here is that even though you're the number three defense, number three offense, there are some positions that you just don't have three deep and three available. So some guys are still going to continue to play. Luke Jokel, who has worked at guard for the most part, is now going to move to left tackle. And then Josh Wells, who was playing left tackle earlier in the scrimmage, now goes to left guard. Tyler Shatley in at center. He's getting plenty of work with the injury to Brandon Linder.
The quarterback is Brandon Allen, draft pick out of Arkansas. Allen looks right, throws that direction, incomplete, dropped at about the 43-yard line. Allen was a guy that they had at the Senior Bowl at Mobile. They liked his personality. He's a coach's son. They liked what he did his last year in Fayetteville.
Yeah, well, you know, he's looked okay in practice, you know, but when you compare him to Chad Henne and Blake Bortles, he's still way behind the curve. But watching his college film, anticipates things, very quick release, stays out of trouble, moves the chains, you know, productive player at Arkansas.
Corey Grant around the right end had a little room to run. Porter would have been the first man there, but they don't blow it dead.
Run for it.
Corey Grant
run
is all it. The way into the end zone for a touchdown.
He's got great speed. He's got great speed. I'd like to see the replay of that to see if, in fact, somebody could have tackled him. Looking at it now, right there.
Yeah, there's one.
There would have been one right there by the linebacker. Sean Porter taps him on the hips.
You know, Corey Grant at his pro day, a reported 4.25 and 4.27 40.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's really fast.
You know, slightly faster than what I ran back in the day.
Oh, really? Just slightly.
Yeah, just slightly.
We'll try it again from the 39-yard line.
Good matchup here. Jokel, Tyrone Holmes, the draft pick from Montana.
Jokel beats him. Throw over the middle. That's caught.
There he is.
There's Bowman. The rookie tight end out of South Alabama on the move with a nice catch over the middle.
And he's making the coaches pay attention to his skills. We're talking about Bowman, the undrafted rookie tight end from South Alabama. You know, not only has he made some really nice contested catches in practice where he's had guys draped over him or a tight coverage on him, but he's shown that he's a willing blocker, and he also is not just willing, he's fairly effective. He's got some dog in him. Neil Sterling, who many people thought would be a great move tight end, is probably behind him, in my mind, on the depth chart.
Allen looking left. A little pressure from behind from Werner, so he has to tuck it and run. That's not the ideal situation.
Well, and that's not pressure. That would have been a sack. Okay, Luke Jokel was blocking Bjorn Werner, the former first-round pick out of Florida State, drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. Basically got released because he wasn't good enough to play for the Indianapolis Colts, and it's not a very strong statement. To be honest with you, Bjorn Werner has not looked very good camp, and that doesn't reflect well on Luke Jokel that he gives up a sack to Werner. That's why Luke has been working a lot at left guard.
Max Wittick is now in at quarterback out of Hawaii, a rookie free agent. He'll hand it off. Corey Grant is bottled up in the backfield.
And in a real game situation, that would have been more than bottled up. That was the linebacker that has the shortest, thickest neck maybe that I have ever seen, and that's Hayes Pollard III there. And you can see there on the shot that they had of him. His head and neck, there's no curve to it. It goes straight down to shoulders and traps that are elevated very high. You take a picture of him, he looks like a middle linebacker, right?
Wittick to the end zone, batted away.
That's Body Calhoun.
Yeah, the rookie out of Minnesota, 5'11", 190-pounder. Nice play.
Yeah, nice coverage, and he was working against the wide receiver that I've become a big fan of. That's Jamal Robinson, the undrafted rookie wide receiver from Louisiana Lafayette. And kind of surprised that Jamal Robinson at 6'4", you know, 207, 210, didn't high point that ball. which means plant your feet and elevate because, you know, at 6'4", you're against a corner who's 5'11". Use your height to your advantage and almost treat it like a rebound.
First and 10 at the 35-yard line. Wittick hands it off. Grant Bartu is there to put him on his backside.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that Jamal Robinson didn't high point it because, you know, that's what we've seen out of Robinson in camp. He's made some really nice catches to where he's been able to elevate and use his height to his advantage.
Pick your five receivers right now, Jeff, or six.
Five? Well,
still five.
The A-team, you know, Robinson and Hearns are given. Rashad Green, number three. Brian Walters, number four. Marquise Lee, number five. Provided Marquise Lee starts to show some things and has some consistent participation in games and in practice.
Could they keep six?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to be a running team like they've talked about, you know, all offseason, you know, with the addition of Chris Ivory, you know, the tight ends that you have,
I just
can't imagine them keeping six. Now, if you're going to be a passing team, sure, you keep six. But that's not what they want to do on offense.
Linkenbach is in at left tackle. Looks like Can at left guard. Will likely be the starting right guard this year. Back to throw Wittick. Little time. Finds a man complete. There's Robinson.
And for A.J. Can playing left guard, it's like putting on an old set of shoes. 51 starts at South Carolina at left guard for A.J. Can. That's not very hard for him to make that transition from right guard back to left guard for him.
Not at all. That'll do it for the play-by-play coverage of tonight's Florida Blue Family Night scrimmage with Nickelodeon, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Glad you're with us tonight. A few things stand out. Dante Fowler is one of those tonight. What'd you like from the rookie this evening?
He's just a second-year player. Well, he's a second-year player, but he spent the first year on IR. So, to me, he's still a rookie. He's just such a great athlete. He's got a great motor. He's got quickness and instincts that you just typically don't see. He is going to be a fun player to watch throughout the season. And I hope he stays healthy, you know, because he's still coming back from an ACL. But would you know it?
No, not at all.
I mean, you wouldn't know it at all that he ever had an ACL injury.
The last game he played, competitive game, January 3rd, 2015. So next Thursday night, get ready for Dante Fowler. Offensively, a couple things to that. Allen Robinson has continued his great camp with another big night tonight. A couple of great catches for A-Rob.
Still Allen Robinson, right? And maybe a step up about, you know, the consistently level that he's had has been tremendous. I like Julius Thomas getting involved, catching a touchdown today in a matchup with Cyprian. That was a nice to see. You know, the more weapons that Blake Bortles can get involved in the offense, the tougher it is for defenses to stop. Allen Hearns didn't show as much tonight, but has been very consistent throughout training camp. I don't expect that to be something that lasts for very long. Rashad Green did some nice things tonight.
Yep.
You know, the more weapons that they can get on offense. But, you know, the one thing, though, that you really want to see to start to emerge when you get to games is the consistency of the run game to where they can really enforce their will in running the football because that takes a lot of pressure off of the offensive line and pass protection and also the quarterback and get Blake to cut down on the interception.
Well, that's something you have to see in a real game. It's hard to see in a scrimmage, in a practice, and on the practice field. You got to get under the lights, not even against the Jets, but closer to the regular season to see that.
Yeah, and you're going to have some great evaluation. You know, this roster, I know that earlier in the day our radio crew talked with Peter King, and Peter King had a pretty strong statement to say, and he said, this might be the most changed team that I've seen in years. And what he's talking about is the level of talent that this football team has. You know, we see it, you know, so we're very aware of that. But to have a guy to come in and to kind of compare his viewpoint of other teams around the National Football League and make a direct statement like that about this football team, that's pretty encouraging, and it's very true.
Jeff, final thought, what's left to see before Thursday night against the Jets?
Well, you'd like to see the guys get healthy, Brandon Leonard, Kelvin Beachum, to get some consistency on the offensive line. You're hoping that Marquise Lee returns this weekend or the first part of next week. And then after that, it's time to start turning the lights up a little bit and let's see some game action because that's where the real true evaluation begins is in the preseason game. That's how you evaluate players on a roster.
Jeffrey, well done. We'll have a great week of practice and get ready for the Jets Thursday night in New York. We
appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Jeff Loggeman, our thanks to John Osier, our entire Jaguars.com crew as well, and thanks to you for watching tonight. I'm JP Shadrick. That'll do it for the Florida Blue Family Night Scrimmage from Everbank Field.